What's up, everybody? My name is David EJ Berger. You can find me at Carl Jr. on Twitter, and welcome to Training Camp Dialed In. I'll be featuring phone calls with NFL writers and reporters from the actual sidelines of camp. Well, that's normally how this works. Obviously, things are a bit different this year, but I'll still be getting their inside insights. And their inside knowledge about the teams they cover from a fantasy perspective. This is the place to be all month long as I'm bringing you 3 to 4 shows per week filled with football knowledge that's going to help you win your leagues this season. So you need to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. Get it everywhere, folks. That's right. This podcast that's so short run, so niche, it's almost like it doesn't even exist. But it does. It's real. I'm a real person. I have thoughts and feelings. I'm a TV guy now moonlighting in the streets of fantasy football content once again. And we're a bit of a guerrilla operation at the moment. It's just yours truly. Last year, I had Eddie the editor helping out, and we're going to get him back, folks. We're going to get Eddie, and he's gonna trick it out a little bit. We're going to have some music eventually. This is year 3 and year 2 on the Dynasty Happy Hour feed. Thank you so much, Tyler Gunther, at @DHH_Tyler. Give him a follow if you haven't. You need to be listening to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast every week like I do. And also a big shout out to all the Dynasty Happy Hour writers who have really upped their game lately, turning out tons of content. We all want the content. This is the season premiere, and guess what? We're kicking it off just like we did last year. We're talking some Seattle Seahawks. I dialed up Alistair Corp. @ByAlistairCorp on Twitter. He's the deputy editor for SB Nation's Field Goals, a Seattle Seahawks blog. He's going to give us the definitive guide to the Seattle Seahawks for the 2020 season. This is going to be good. What are we waiting for? Let's bring him on. Ladies and gentlemen, Alistair Corp. Hello, Alistair.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I am kind of ready to get to the football season already. I'm sick of being worried about what the hell is going to happen, you know?
I agree. This is the time of year we're supposed to be excited. Football is back. Training camp is open. And yet here we have this cloud hanging over it. We are living in the new world of the pandemic. So it's a little bit different of an off season. How have things been going for you?
Yeah, it's been going well. You know, I think it's something where you kind of got to remind yourself of how, you know, lucky you are to be living in the situation you are. Could be a lot worse. You know, it's just, as far as covering the NFL goes, it's hard to kind of put yourself in a vacuum where everything that's going on isn't a factor. So it definitely kind of, it leaks into your coverage because how could it not? But just kind of trying to roll with the punches, really. You can't really prepare for this kind of year. So it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, I mean, normally you are at the camp, you're there, you got the pad and the pen, you got the recorder, you're talking to people. Can you talk about this year versus years in the past in terms of your approach to covering the team?
Yeah, that's a good question. We don't really know yet as far as what kind of access we're going to get, if they're going to, you know, stream certain scrimmages for everybody to watch. It's going to be pretty weird. I really love, honestly, training camp preseason is something that I really look forward to. I know some people have kind of a cynical approach to it, but I find it to be really fun. I really like kind of tracking competitions. So it's going to be really hard this year because, you know, without preseason, without camp, you know, we're not really going to know who's making a roster push, who's looking good. You know, last year, one of the big things to come out of camp was like, Wilson and DK Metcalf's connection was already pretty obvious. And so, you know, if that were to happen this year, we wouldn't really know. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of you try not to lean on cliches too much when you're talking this year, but you know, it's going to be surreal. That's what it has been. That's what it will continue to be.
A novel situation has become cliche, to a certain extent, as time has gone on here, hasn't it? But this is why we're here, because, you know, normally practices are going, and you can track these camp battles a little bit, but I'm glad to talk to you now to get a little bit of the lay of the land in terms of what it's really like out there for training camp. So this is a bit of a, I'm not going to call it a pilot episode. This is going to be the first episode out of the gate. It's going to be a new year for my training camp podcast. So just figuring out what it's like. In terms of the Seahawks, what's it like for their practices and their workouts? What's their schedule like? How are they handling things for the month of August?
Yeah, so my understanding is that it's pretty much uniform across the NFL, like as far as structure goes for August. So they just had their infectious disease emergency response plan approved by the NFLPA. So now they can have more than 20 players in the building. So that's why, like, a lot of teams this week, you were seeing, like, they were conducting COVID tests out of a parking lot or out of, like, trailers, portables. That's just because the NFLPA wouldn't allow more than 20 guys in the building at once. Now everybody's approved, so I think guys will kind of start coming into the building as they normally would. But for the next 2 weeks, it's mostly just going to be, like, doing physicals, obviously testing, and then meetings. Like, I saw yesterday the Bills sent all their rookies home, and we're just going to keep doing virtual meetings. I wouldn't be really surprised if a lot of teams did that. I've talked to a couple guys on the Seahawks over the past couple weeks, and they've been saying, like, virtual meetings went awesome. Like, they don't seem to have been bothered by it at all. So I think if that's kind of the general consensus, and I know Pete Carroll kind of shares that sentiment, I don't think they'll be afraid to just, you know, send guys home. Let's just kind of be as proactive as we can. So that's probably the next couple weeks. And then I think August 16th or 17th is when padded practices can begin. And that's kind of the ramp up. That's when rosters have to be down to 80 ahead of the final cut down to 53. But so that's when everything's going to really start. So hopefully next couple weeks is, you know, a lot of proactive, a lot of preventative measures. So once August 16th hits, you know, we can actually ramp up the season and, you know, get it going and hopefully not have any, you know, I don't want to say unforeseen speed bumps, because of course there can be unforeseen speed bumps, but if they can be limited, that will be, that'd be great.
The big talk for fantasy gamers has been the lack of OTAs, that you want to place a value on teams with a lot of consistency. The Seahawks are a team that falls into that bucket, but they also missed out on these OTAs. As an organization, and this is a team you've covered for years now, what kind of value did they place on those OTA workouts and some of the things they've missed up to this point?
Yeah, it's definitely a big thing for the Seahawks because, I mean, going back basically since Pete Carroll's been here, so, you know, 10 years, they'd kind of conduct their rookie camps almost like a training camp. Like, they'll, you know, for as many undrafted free agents as they'll invite or as they'll sign, they'll invite, you know, twice as many just to the rookie minicamp to try to make it a full training camp and just see kind of who sticks out. So obviously they couldn't do that. So a lot of their kind of foundational moves weren't able to happen. I think at least at this point, you know, they don't have too many newcomers in the offense. I don't think they'll be too affected as far as, like, you know, I don't think Tyler Lock and Russell Wilson's connection is going to suddenly evaporate because they didn't have shorts and t-shirts on throwing ball in April. But yeah, it's definitely weird for the bottom of the roster. As far as, I don't think it'll have a huge impact, you know, regular season wise, offense wise, but it's just definitely, it's something that's, it'll impact the bottom, but yeah, they'll be okay. It won't impact the offense.
One last question on the pandemic situation. What players have tested positive so far and or have opted out so far? This is the biggest impact as we head to kickoff.
Yeah, so we're recording this Friday afternoon. We haven't learned of any positive tests from Seattle yet. Nobody placed on the like the COVID list. And then as far as opt-outs go, it's just Chance Wormack, who's going to probably win a backup guard spot. Only he's opted out. Probably a couple more to come. But as of right now, it's just the one opt-out and no positive tests. So things are looking okay in Seattle right now.
So let's get to why we're really here, helping us score fantasy points. When it comes to the Seahawks, the fantasy echo chamber loves nothing more than to lament the run-heavy attack of head coach Pete Carroll and offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, and how it minimizes the upside of quarterback Russell Wilson and the entire offense. But it's not exactly a total disaster on the field. The Seahawks have posted back-to-back top 10 finishes in total points scored, and last year were only 46 points off pace from the much more lauded Kansas City Chiefs. Seattle also finished 10th in the league in total plays run, so the run game not entirely slowing down this offense. Consistency, like I said, obviously at a plus this year with the shortened offseason. Can we expect more of the same from how this offense operates as a scheme going into 2020? Or have you been tracking a few wrinkles as well?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not just the fantasy echo chamber who loves to lament Pete Carroll. They're not alone there. There's a large corner of Seahawks Twitter who does the same. But yeah, no, it's going to be pretty much the same. I think the biggest thing that we can kind of project is maybe another uptick in targets for Chris Carson, which obviously has a big kind of impact fantasy-wise. That was a big talking point for them last year. I think Shoddy's kind of stated objective was 50 targets for Chris Carson. He got there about, but as far as how the targets came, they were really creative early in the season, and then it kind of became just checkdowns. So I think they'll kind of involve him a little bit more. You know, other, it's not necessarily a wrinkle, but I think, you know, DK is going to benefit just from, you know, further development. And then also, you know, tight ends are going to be heavily involved in the offense. And early in the season, they were doing a lot of fun things as far as putting Metcalf in the slot and flexing Will Disley, the tight end, out wide. And that got DK on safeties and linebackers, which, like, you know, obviously that's a horrible mismatch for any defender. And then the other big thing is, like, there's probably going to be more 12 personnel, two tight ends in the field. But that won't really have an impact on Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, who are kind of the fantasy relevant Seahawks receivers. So that's kind of the big wrinkle offense wise, but I don't know that it'll be, you know, I don't think the fantasy will be felt as a result.
This offense is obviously driven by Russell Wilson, who had a phenomenal season last year. In fact, the Seahawks passing offense went from 27th in the league in total yards in 2018 to 14th with over 3,700 yards in 2019, a huge leap, which might surprise a lot of people. He chipped in another 33 touchdowns. We have enough sample size from Russ to get a pretty good idea of what he will do on the field this year. But what are you expecting from Wilson this season?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was thinking back to when we recorded this last year. And, you know, I don't remember everything I said, but I know just my general feeling towards the offense and Brian Schottenheimer was extremely negative. I thought 2018 was probably the most miserable season, you know, of Wilson's career. They were dreadful. They were kind of doing everything in an inefficient manner, but they made a huge jump forward. Those numbers aren't a coincidence. Like, their first and 10 runs dropped down like a considerable amount. Same with their second and 7 runs. You know, they made a lot of smart adjustments. Like, there are definite improvements. Now, a lot of the volume numbers could also be a result of, like, you know, 2019 team wasn't great, especially on defense. So, you know, they were having to throw into the fourth quarter. I think, you know, made huge improvements as far as efficiency goes. And I think Russ could even improve numbers wise in 2020, because I would expect those numbers to continue to trend in the right direction. You know, they're never going to get to the extreme that certain people want. You know, he's never going to be throwing a ridiculous amount of numbers. It's just not what's going to happen in Seattle's offense. But, you know, just keep trending in the right direction is a really cool improvement. And then, you know, a big thing that hurt him last year was Tyler Lockett got hurt in week 10. And, you know, he didn't really miss any time, but it clearly bothered him. And I think Russ only topped 250 yards passing like once after that. So, yeah, if Tyler Lockett stays healthy and DK Metcalf like puts together another healthy season, then I'd imagine those numbers go up kind of regardless of the defense. Like, his numbers will improve and, you know, he'll make another MVP push and be playing at a superstar level again, which wasn't always the case. Like, he's always been very good, but, you know, he's fully in the superstar club now.
Absolutely. And that's a good segue to talk about the pass catchers next. Tyler Lockett, as you said, was a splash play last season, much to the delight of fantasy players with him rostered. He crossed a 1,000-yard threshold while also crossing the goal line 8 times. But now there's another fantasy favorite in that wide receiver room and second-year wide receiver DK Metcalf. That's my co-host, my daughter Sylvia, who had 900 yards and 7 touchdowns in his rookie campaign and seemed to get better down the stretch. DK is currently tracking ahead of Lockett in ADP for 2020. How are you expecting things to break down between these two this season?
Yeah, I think fantasy-wise, Metcalf will probably remain, you know, I don't want to call it a boom or bust situation, but kind of close to that. Like, on his good days, you know, he could top 100 yards and have a couple touchdowns. I mean, shoot, on his bad days, he could have 40 yards and a touchdown explosive. But yeah, he's not a player who I would yet start comfortably. Maybe that's just me and my own conservative qualities as a fantasy player. But, you know, Tyler Lockett is somebody I'd start comfortably on a weekly basis. He makes the offense go. I think he's one of the best receivers in the NFL. Him and Wilson's connection is unlike any other in the NFL. I don't really think that's a huge debate. Yeah, I would pick Lockett over Metcalf every single week without question, just because, you know, he's going to chip away like his 8 catches, 90-something yards, a couple touchdowns. Like, he's just so, so solid, so steady. you know, Metcalf's probably going to have the really big scoring days, but if you're just looking for kind of consistency, a safe floor, it's Tyler Lockett. When he's healthy, there's just, yeah, there's no receiver that Russell Wilson has ever trusted more.
DK was a guy who had 100 targets last year, which I think would surprise a lot of people too. I don't think a lot of people realize that he had triple digits in targets, but he predominantly was utilized on one side of the field. Can you talk about what we can expect from DK in terms of his route tree in year two?
That was kind of one of the big knocks on him coming out, just kind of coming out of an air raid. That's something that happens to receivers. So I think it ended up being about 2/3 of his snaps on the left, 25% on the right, and then like 10, 11% inside, which again, that fell off a lot after Will Disley got hurt around week 6. But you know, they eased him into the offense, and honestly, they handled his development perfectly. I think that they deserve so much credit for the way that they handled him last year. You know, this year I think we'll see a lot more digs, posts, everything to get him across the field more often, get him matched up on linebackers, safeties. He's really, really, really clever as far as selling fakes. One of his long touchdowns last year against the Bucks, like he's coming across the middle of the field, and right before he kind of flattens his route out, he gives a little head fake upfield, and it totally bails the safety off. Like, he's a very, very savvy receiver, which I don't think he gets enough credit for. By the end of the season, his timing on like out routes, back shoulder with Russell Wilson was perfect. He became a legitimate threat in contested catches. So, I mean, he'll still make his money, you know, running vertically, running slants, screens. But I think his volume will increase just because of like that continued development. We'll see him worked across the field more often. But they're not going to take away the things that he does well, but they're just going to kind of improve, like, or raise his targets in other areas. Yeah, his development, who knows where his ceiling is right now, right? But I think they're just going to kind of keep adding things to his plate. And yeah, I'm not really comfortable saying where his ceiling is because I have no idea. But definitely expect continued development and, as a result, you know, further production for sure.
So we're liking DK in terms of a fantasy asset, but we're still giving that slight lean to Tyler Lockett on a week-to-week basis. I think I'm in that camp as well. But once again, there's a lot of names that we could talk about next in this wide receiver room. But as someone who knows this team like you do, who is the next wide receiver worth talking about? Is it Dorsett? Is it David Moore? Deep Dynasty faves and John Usura and Penny Hart. Where are we at with these guys?
I mean, fantasy-wise, it's tough to say anybody will be relevant beyond Lockett and Metcalf just because they're gonna soak up so much of it. But I am pretty excited about Dorsett's fit in the offense. I think he suffered a lot last year playing for Brady, who, like, obviously still a very solid quarterback at this stage of his career, but he's not exactly a deep threat. So, you know, I think Dorsett finished second in the NFL in, the amount of times that he was missed on deep throws. So Brady kind of hurt in that regard, whereas Wilson obviously is one of the best deep passers in the NFL, finished first in air yards last year. So he's going to be a really, really good fit in the offense. And, you know, he'll have a couple big days. Like, I'm certain that he'll catch a couple deep touchdowns. So, you know, those will be kind of fantasy days, but I don't think you can count on anybody outside of Lockett and Metcalf when they're healthy. You know, looking long-term, a lot of people like John Ursua. I'm not one of them. But yeah, I'd focus my energy towards Lockett and Metcalf in the short term.
Real quick before we move on from wide receivers, AB is discussed so much, so I don't want to spend a lot of time, but how close was he to landing in Seattle from your perspective?
I think he's still, I don't think he's any more or less close than he was at any other point in the offseason. I think he's still somebody that they're considering. I don't think that the timeline makes a lot of sense because, you know, we found out this morning, suspended 8 games, and then that could be further depending on kind of what happens with his civil suit. You know, there's been a couple of situations with that he and the accuser were going to settle, and then he just basically backed out of a mediation session because he can't be depended on for anything. You can probably tell by the energy in my voice that the idea of Antonio Brown being on any team is pretty gross to me. I think that if they're going to add a player, it'll be Josh Gordon, not Antonio Brown. I'd say kind of that makes a lot more sense for a lot of reasons. And we're kind of expecting him to be reinstated basically at any point. He could be reinstated for like today by the time people are listening to this. It should come, yeah, any day now.
I think that makes a lot of sense as well. Well, let's get off the wide receivers and move on to the running backs. This is a run-heavy offense, so a lot to talk about. No one seems to love running backs more than Pete Carroll. He's like Wolverine, that meme where he's longingly staring at a photo, and inside that photo is every running back in the league. the previous 2 years, it's been Chris Carson versus Rashad Penny, but both guys are a little banged up. Carlos Hyde is on the scene now. We've got a couple Miami U products and Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. Can you help fantasy gamers make sense of how the running back room is going to play out?
For sure, yeah. So Carson's definitely going to be the lead guy again. I really like the fit of Carlos Hyde as somebody who can spell him on early downs. He makes a lot more sense in that role than Rashad Penny did. I think Rashad Penny is an extremely talented player. He just really wasn't used to the best of his ability. Just kind of scheming him into space and let him create, they didn't really do that. But Hyde, you can get Hyde to just replicate what Carson does, and he'll have a lot of success. So I think Carson's definitely going to be the guy there. His fumble should drop. Because I think last year was kind of, he's never going to fumble seven times in a season again. But then, health is a huge question with Carson. It always will be, just because he takes such a toll on his body, the way that he hands out punishment. But as far as the Homer versus Dallas thing goes, I think Homer will probably be the passing down back this year. His numbers just won't be all that sparkling at it. He won't really get enough work to make him any sort of relevant player. But then looking long term, I think Dallas is definitely one for the future. If you're a dynasty player and you're looking to stash somebody long term, DJ Dallas makes a lot of sense. I really would not be surprised. If Carson Hyde get hurt this year, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a pretty big role, but I really wouldn't be surprised if he's starting for the Seahawks next year. And like you said, if he's starting for the Seahawks, then he's gonna get 200 carries and probably be pretty productive, because he's a good prospect, and I think he makes a lot of sense for what they like to do.
Woo-hoo-hoo! That makes one podcast host very happy, as I was the DJ Dallas guy in the rookie draft season, and he's on a few teams. So, love hearing that.
There you go.
What about Carson and Penny in terms of their injuries? Do we have any updates on their timeline in terms of getting on the field?
Yeah, so Carson, it sounds like, it's all good. His hip injury is pretty ambiguous, and there were some rumors earlier in the offseason that they were kind of worried he wouldn't be ready, but all signs are pointing towards him being like full go. So week one, he should be locked in as the starter. Penny is pretty expected to start the year on the physically unable to perform list, so that'll knock him out the first 6 weeks. This is kind of my own personal theory. I don't know how accurate it'll prove to be, but I don't think he'll play much of a role of anything this year. If he gets back by week seven, say, they're going to ease him into things just because they have guys ahead of him. And they've traditionally been really, really conservative with guys coming off the PUP list midseason. And then it kind of goes into the player that we're talking about. Like, this is a guy whose best runs are when he presses the edge, plants his foot, and explodes upfield. I don't know how confident he's going to be in that knee coming off like a very, very bad knee injury, planting his foot and exploding upfield. So I'm kind of just writing the season off completely for Penny. I really hope that he can be fully healthy and the same player that he was before injury, looking at 2021. But 2020, I think anything they get from him will be a bonus. I don't expect him to play really at all a role.
So it sounds like the running back situation is a little bit clearer than it appears on paper. But the tight end room, I think, still a bit of a mystery that we're going to need some help with here, Alistair. Veteran and one foot in the booth, Greg Olsen, was brought in. Russell Wilson has made Jacob Hollister and Will Disley fantasy relevant in the past. How are we handling this group? Because I think you do want Russell Wilson's tight end, at least from a streaming perspective, and if one catches on, maybe even more.
Yeah, so Shoddy's offense is very kind to tight ends. And in my opinion, health is kind of the only thing that would get in the way of Olsen or Disley from being fantasy relevant, very fantasy relevant even. Disley has probably had the two worst lower body injuries a player can suffer, and he's had them back-to-back years, but he's an amazing story. And I think, if healthy, when he has been healthy, he's shown to be one of the best tight ends in the league, kind of behind that Kittle and Kelsey dual top of the position. So I think if both are healthy, I'm still taking Disley. I'm probably counting on Disley more to stay healthy, but neither are very, neither are very safe picks. I don't know why they decided to combine those two players, because I don't know how you count on either of them. But then looking ahead, again, if we're going to speak long term, if you're a dynasty player looking out there to hold on to somebody, I'm a huge fan of Colby Parkinson, who's a rookie they drafted in the fourth round. He's also a little unclear health wise to start the year, because he broke his foot a couple weeks ago. But I think he's going to play a really big role moving forward. I think he's a player that Russell Wilson's going to come to really love. I keep saying, I think he could catch 15 passes as a rookie, but he could catch 5 touchdowns within those 15 catches because he's 6'7", already elite at boxing defenders out. Like, he's a really good red zone threat, and I'm really excited about his future. Don't know how big a role he'll play this year, but moving forward, he's a tight end that gets me really, really excited.
Well, that's a nice little nugget of info, and that's why we're here. We're here to talk with people that know the teams that can have a little bit more insight than your typical fantasy talker. So I love it, Alistair. I'm writing that name down. I'm putting it in my back pocket. We're going to get you out of here. I got one more question, a pretty fire question, I'm going to say. We did it last year. What's your boldest take for the 2020 Seahawks?
Yeah. I meant to look back and see what I said last year for this, but I don't think I want to know. Bold take for the 2020 Seahawks is I'll say that Chris Carson finishes as a top 5 running back fantasy wise. I think that he's going to get a ton of carries. I don't think his fumbles will be as bad as they were last year, and I think that he's going to stay healthy. It's a contract year for him, so I think we're going to see the best he's played. And you know, he's one of the best running backs in the NFL. That's where I'm planting my flag for 2020.
Alistair, you've said it all. Where can people find all your stuff?
Yeah, you can read my work on fieldgoals.com, part of SB Nation. And just kind of keep on checking back there if you need to learn anything about the Seahawks.
Well, thank you once again. And until next year, have a safe and healthy 2020, my man.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you for having me back. And it's always fun to check in with you.
All right. Chris Carson, top 5. You are now dialed in.